Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to meet together this morning, for the freedom we have to come together, worship together, study and hear your word. Father, we ask you now to open up your word to us, that we may hear you speaking to each one of us this morning. Amen. So we're continuing to study the book of Jonah, and today we're looking at the prayer that Jonah prayed whilst he was inside the fish. And in the first chapter we saw Jonah trying to run away from the command that God had given him to go to Nineveh and preach against it. And we might think, oh, that's a really stupid thing to do, run away from God, you can never escape from that. But we need to remember that he was absolutely terrified. This was the enemy he was being sent to. This was the enemy. And the task seemed utterly impossible to him. Why should he go there? And so he ran away and tried to hide. It was too much for him to cope with. And as we saw, the Jonah slept while the storm raged on the boat. And actually, that's what paralyzing fear does to you. It makes you incapable of taking action, and often sleeps a result of that. He was absolutely incapable of taking that action. He was terrified. He was paralyzed with fear. But God had plans for Jonah, didn't he? And eventually, he's reluctantly thrown overboard by the sailors into the stormy waters. And that should have resulted in Jonah's death. Being thrown over into a storm that's raging should have resulted in Jonah's death. But we saw that God provided that large fish to rescue Jonah. And it was also, the fish was also the means of transportation to his destination. He might have got on a boat to go the other way, but the fish took him the way that he should have gone. Strange transportation, but he ended up at Nineveh, so that he could complete the task that God has given him to do. And so Jonah's rescued. And God must have loved Jonah very much, I think, to rescue him in the way that he did. He wanted Jonah to do that work that he'd given him to do. And in order for that to happen, Jonah needed to learn that God was in complete control, and that it was impossible for him to escape from the work that God wanted him to do. And so inside the fish, he has time to reflect. And here we have recorded his prayer of thanksgiving for his deliverance from death. It isn't a prayer that God will save him. His prayer is that he has been saved already, and it's a prayer of thanksgiving. He's thankful that he's not been drowned in the sea. He was overwhelmed that he'd escaped from death, and so Jonah prays that prayer of thanksgiving from inside the fish. Now, I'm not really sure that that's the place most of us would choose to pray from, inside a fish. But it does remind us, doesn't it, that no matter where we are, God hears those prayers. It doesn't matter what situation it's in, what we have done, or how difficult our situation is. Where it is, God hears that prayer. We don't have to pray in a specific place. So let's have a look of what he actually says. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to his Lord, to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. He knew that he was going to die. He's recording what has actually happened. He was going to drown. He was in there, he was going to drown. And it's in that distress and desperation that he calls out to God. And he's listened to that prayer. And in verse 3, he acknowledges the fact that the sailors were agents of God's will. It says, you hurled me into the deep. He doesn't blame the sailors. You hurled me into the deep. Into the very heart of the seas, and the torrents swirled about me, all your waves and breakers swept over me. Jonah needed that near-death experience to bring him back to his senses. This experience was greater than the fear of preaching to the city of Nineveh. It was this experience that awakened him from that petrified sleep that he was in. He needed that. God needed to bring him to his senses. It needed a big act to bring him back. He doesn't blame the sailors. And so he's in the sea with the stormy waters raging round him. And verse 5 says, "The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweeds wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth barred me in forever." It's a description of his drowning, isn't it? He's describing what it was like there. The engulfing waters round him. He's in there. He can't breathe. He's sinking down. "The deep surrounded me." You can imagine him trying to fight his way up. The seaweed wraps round his head. He can't actually get anywhere. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down." He's gone right down to the bottom of the sea. "The earth barred me in forever." It's a description of a drowning man. He's sucked down to the bottom. He should be dead. And it's in that state, that desperate state, that he cries for help to God. And he's rescued. And it's at that stage that God sends the fish to swallow him up. He doesn't get thrown over the boat and the fish magically comes along. He goes through that drowning experience first. He's probably unconscious at this point after his prayer. Think about what's happened to him. And the fish swallows him up. I'm not sure that Jonah knows he's inside a fish. I don't think he saw it swimming along to take him. I don't think he knows actually where he is there. It's more likely that he'd lost consciousness before being swallowed. And possibly the action of the fish swallowing him would have removed water from his lungs as he was squeezed through the fish, rather like you would do for CPR. We don't know. We're not told. We can only surmise. Jonah only knows that he's about to die. He was going to die, and now he finds himself alive. He might not know where he is, but he's alive, and he's very grateful for that. And so this prayer comes out. Verse 4 says, "I had been banished from your sight, yet again I will look to your holy temple." Then the second part of verse 6 says, "You brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you in your holy temple." He's grateful. He knows he's been rescued. It's hard to imagine what it must be like inside the fish, wasn't it? I love fish, but the smell of rotten fish is horrible. And he's in the probably in the stomach of that fish. Imagine all the acid juices around there and the things that the fish ate. I'm sure it didn't not eat for 3 days. There'll be other things floating around in there. And this is where he is. Yet despite being in those extremely unpleasant surroundings, it's there that Jonah praises God for his rescue. I'm not sure he knows where he is, but he knows he's been rescued. He knows he's alive and he's not dead. And he's still, nonetheless, grateful to be alive and able to praise God. And in the end he says, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." Jonah's not trying to bargain with God in these verses, but he's rather stating a fact. It's only through the Lord that there's salvation. Everything else is meaningless. Anything that we put ahead of God are worthless idols. Anything that takes our attention away from God. Salvation is found only through Jesus. God rescued Jonah, and he knew beyond any doubt that it was God that had rescued him. And therefore, he makes that sacrifice of praise to God. So what can we learn from this prayer? How does that affect us? Well, hopefully, we're not going to be in that situation where we're inside a fish. I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to be there. But I think there's, for me, there's three things for us to take away and think about. Firstly, when you look at the content of the prayer, much of what Jonah says is borrowed, if you like, from various psalms. You can find, if you want to do a study, you can find many links with these phrases to the psalms that he has there. I don't propose to do that now. We could be here forever if we actually studied it through. But what's more important for me is that it shows that Jonah must have known the scriptures well. Because in that time of distress, they automatically came to him. Those words and phrases came to him. They were embedded in his heart, and therefore it flowed naturally from his lips as he thanked God for his deliverance. He didn't have copies of the scriptures with him in the fish, did he? It was the scriptures he knew by heart. They didn't have to go searching for verses. He knew them. Which says to me, he must have studied God's word and embedded it in his heart to be able to recall that in the revolting conditions that he was in. And it reminded me of a book I read this holiday called The Heavenly Man. Don't ask me to pronounce the author's name because it's a Chinese man and I can't say his name. But it was a very interesting book. He's a missionary in China, and he was imprisoned an awful lot of times. And he didn't have the scriptures with him, but as a little boy, when he'd eventually prayed for and got the scriptures, he learnt it all off by heart. So while he was there, he always had those scriptures with him. And I'm not very good at memorising anything, I have to say. I'm hopeless at it, much as I try. But we still need to embed that word of God in our heart, because we never know when we might be faced with circumstances where we don't readily have a Bible. We're very fortunate here. We have access to all sorts of versions of the Bible, loads of different commentaries. The internet can take you to things. You don't even need a hard copy anymore. We're so fortunate in this country, but you never know those times, those circumstances, where that might be taken away from us. It could be through illness. All sorts of things could happen, and we need to, in the same way that Jonah did, embed that word of God in our hearts. Not just a superficial reading, but so that it goes in there. So, first thing is that we need to remember to try and embed the word of God in our heart. Maybe not having to try and memorize the whole Bible, but parts of that we know and that's there and that we can recall in those situations. Another point to think about is that it took a miracle of deliverance to get Jonah to do what God wanted him to do. Jonah had tried to run away, hadn't he, to escape his responsibilities and run from God rather than run to him. And difficult though it is to imagine what would have happened if God had allowed Jonah to keep on running, both for him and the people of Nineveh. It would have been much harder if God had allowed Jonah to keep on running. But God stopped Jonah and brought him back. He didn't have to. Jonah had been disobedient and deserved death. And God didn't have to intervene, but he chose to, because he wanted Jonah to do that job. And so when God asks us to do something, we shouldn't run away, no matter how terrifying the task is. Because if we do run away, we might not be as fortunate as Jonah. God might not stop us. And often we're faced with difficult tasks, aren't we? And our tendency might be to run from it, to hide from it. I don't know about you, but sometimes when things are really difficult, we keep putting them off, don't we? I'll do the easy bit first and leave the difficult bit. And those things that seem overwhelming can be paralyzing fear for us, as it was for Jonah, and make us want to run away. But that's the time when we should cry to God for help And remember that we can't do those things in our own strength. Scripture also tells us that we'll never be tested beyond our ability to cope. It might seem that we get into those situations, but God will never put us there where we can't actually cope with the situation that we're in. So when we're asked to do something, no matter how terrifying, that's the time when we should remember to run to God instead of from Him. So we need to remember to embed the Word of God in our hearts and not to run from God when we're asked to do seemingly impossible tasks, but to run to Him. And thirdly, it's interesting that Jonah only prayed to God in his desperation as he was drowning. If you remember chapter 1, the sailors had asked everybody to pray to their gods, and Jonah didn't. He responded with, "Throw me overboard." He didn't respond with praying to God at that point. It was only in his desperation that he did that. And I wonder, how often do we act in a similar way? Sometimes when life's going well, we take God for granted. And when things are difficult, we cry out to Him. And whilst God still hears those prayers, as He did for Jonah, it doesn't actually enable us to have a consistently solid spiritual life. And we need that daily, consistent commitment to God, both in the good times and in the bad times. And that enables us to have a much more solid relationship. I want to read you a card that I found that somebody gave me years ago while I was clearing out. Well, the print looks very small here. And just think about the words. It says, from a friend. "Dear friend, how are you? I tried to send you a note to tell you how much I care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were talking with your friends. I waited all day, hoping you would want to talk to me too. I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you, and I waited. You never came. It hurt. But I still love you because I am your friend. I saw you sleeping last night and longed to touch your brow, so I spilled moonlight upon your face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awoke and rushed off to work. My tears were in the rain. If you would only listen to me, I love you. I try to tell you in the blue skies, in the quiet green grass. I whisper it in the leaves on the trees and breathe it in the colours of the flowers. Shout it to you in the mountain streams. Give the birds love songs to sing. I clothe you with warm sunshine and perfume the air with nature's scents. My love for you is deeper than the ocean and bigger than the biggest need in your heart. Ask me, talk with me, please don't forget me. I have so much to share with you. I won't hassle you any further, it is your decision. I have chosen you and I still wait because I love you, your friend, Jesus." And sometimes we do, don't we? We forget God in the good times and rely on the hard times. So let's try and remember that God's there at all times. Let us pray.